Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner. It is great to have you here this afternoon. Well, let me ask you a question. We'll get right into it today. Do you feel like you fit in your church community? Do you have gifts or talents that you'd like to contribute, but you don't really know how? Or since you can't sing on the worship team or have the gift of hospitality, do you feel like maybe you're being underutilized in the one place that you would love to serve to glorify God? Well, you've heard the old adage, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Now, it pains me to use poor grammar. Ryan is laughing because he knows I don't like poor grammar. Right?
Well, yes, I do know that about you, and it's funny to look at your face when you utter those phrases because it's like physically painful, but you did it.
If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Don't tell my children. But when it comes to women in church, I am willing to throw it out there because their advertisers and consumer groups have known for a long time that women control 80% of the household spending. And that includes charitable giving and everything they buy for the house. But does that statistic carry over to decisions that pertain to church? Well, a recent poll by the Barna Group says that it does. In fact, Barna notes that 80% of the time, women also make the decision on whether or not a family attends church. Has that been the history in your home? Has your mom been the person who's getting you out of bed and making sure that you get to church on time? Well, another recent poll by the same group, Barna Group, piqued my interest, noting that working women are starting to unplug from their churches. As many as 27%, in fact, of professional Christian women are starting to choose to unplug from church altogether. Now, if this is happening, which it looks like it is, this would be a travesty. With women being the influencers who rally their families to attend church, we can't afford to lose 1%, much less 27%. So is the church failing to speak to or support or encourage women who work outside of the home? And if so, how can we turn that around in our church community? Well, I'm excited today to welcome to the show Sandra Crawford Williamson to shed some light on this subject and offer some ways that we can hold on to members of our church community and how to help all attenders learn to plug in. Let me introduce you to her and we'll get her on the show. Sandra Crawford Williamson is a seasoned executive, Wall Street industry expert, author, and public speaker. She is chief operating officer of Forward, a national organization seeking to connect, lead, and support professional Christian women to achieve their God-given potential. Sandra was most recently chief marketing officer for a $3 billion advertising agency and has over 20 years of management, marketing, and sales experience. She has a passion for God and for helping women grow in their faith. You can read more about her on our influencer page on myfaithradio.com. Welcome, Sandra.
Okay, good morning, afternoon. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Well, it's great to have you here. You know, before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story? You obviously have a real heart for women, especially for women who are trying to juggle it all and those who have a desire to serve the Lord. Tell me a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I grew up in church. Our motto was, if the doors were open, the Crawford family was there. And that was a big part of my upbringing. And as I got older and went away to college and started my career, I was very accomplishment-driven, shall we say, as the oldest. You know, if you look at my DISC profile on Myers-Briggs, it was all about driving. And I was with Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola and Nabisco and VP of Marketing and Sales at Universal Studios, just having this glorious career that was all about me, and tended to put myself first for a while there. And, you know, as we say, God uses everything. And at 34 years old, I was in Manhattan on 9/11, and the Lord really used that to put him first in my life, and I reorganized and shifted things around. But I didn't get married until I was 36. And so from really college to 36, I was a single professional woman in church, and it was like I didn't exist. It was very, very hard for me to find a place to plug in. And so I jokingly say now that I learned over time to go late and leave early because I didn't have a place to plug in. There wasn't, you know, programming for me. It was kind of creepy at 30 for me to still go to the students group, right? And And so I just felt like I had all this to offer. I love the Lord. I grew up in church. I wanted to study and be part of a small group, but there wasn't one for me. And so, you know, the older people wanted to fix me up or fix me because something had to be wrong with me because I was still single. And so I'm just really passionate in particular about women in church that are career-minded, both single ones, as I talk about that age. And then as I got married and God blessed me with these amazing miracle babies, I still, to this day, have a problem feeling like I fit in at church because there are a lot of women out there that work outside of the home. In fact, the statistics say 52% of American women, the workforce is made up of 52% women, and 70% of moms in America are working outside the home in some capacity, and 75% of them full-time. And so the church is filled with us, but we don't really know. I call it the camouflage woman. We don't really know who we each other are at church. And so I still some days feel lonely at church and like there's not a group for me. You know, my husband's great. He's very dialed in at church, and we do a couple things. But in terms of the life I'm leading Monday through Friday, you know, I say my mission field is business. I want to have, you know, a small group to talk about that stuff and be really authentic with. So as I came along in my career and was blessed 4 years ago to be able to start my own firm and have a more flexible schedule and then ultimately join Forward as the COO. And God just really put it on my heart to try and raise awareness both in society and in the church, to seminary students, anyone who wants to listen, about this sort of new woman that's sitting in the pews and how we can activate her. I want her to feel included and activated, and I think the church will be better if she is. And like you said at the start, and I also don't like improper grammar, but I often say if Mama gets up on Sunday morning and would rather make chocolate chip pancakes for everybody and keep them in their pajamas, then they're not going to go to church. And guess what? The family and their tithing walk away. And so I'm just very passionate about this topic and want to try and raise awareness of things that churches and other women and anyone can really do to make them feel more welcome.
So you talk about this camouflaged woman or how we may not recognize these people who are sitting in the pews even next to us or out in the lobby. Why did you come up with that term? What does that mean?
Well, I sort of felt that way myself because now that I am married and a mother of three, I am treated at church primarily as a wife and mother. And so I'm asked to serve in the nursery and make tater tot casseroles and do all these lovely things that really, honestly, Joe, are not my giftedness, right? If I could make a tater tot casserole, I'd be making it for my family. And so I came up with the term camouflage because on Sunday we all look the same. And on Monday morning, some are going to homeschool their kids, which is an amazing thing. My sister's done kindergarten through 12th grade. Not my giftedness. I could not do it. Some women are stay-at-home moms, and they're running a home, and they're volunteering, and they're doing this set of stuff. Wonderful, wonderful people. Could not do it. I got fired from being a stay-at-home mom after about 10 weeks because my husband came home one too many times, and I was still in my pajamas. He's like, what are you doing? It's okay to go back to work. And then there's this third group of working women, and we all look the same, and the church tends to default to talk to those first two groups. And that's wonderful. I am a mom. I am a wife. I am a woman. But my Monday through Friday just looks a little different. And so, you know, I want to have an authentic group to talk about those things with. But, you know, I often say on Sunday, you don't know who's going to do one, two, or three, which one of those doors, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody could be going to argue a case before the Supreme Court, and she's got this set of giftedness that could help the church, you know, try and buy the land next door. But the church doesn't even know that because she's camouflaged with these little people that are calling her mommy on Sunday. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That makes sense. And I'm sure that there are women who are listening today say, hey, that's me. Or maybe another person is listening today saying, hey, maybe I need to ask some more questions about the people who are sitting in those pews next to me or that I meet out in the lobby. Well, today we're talking with Sandra Crawford Williamson. She is a business consultant and also the COO of Forward, which is a national organization serving professional Christian women. We're going to chat with her a little bit more when we come back from our break. If you're listening in, you have a question or you think, hey, maybe that is me and I'd like to share a story as well, we would love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. We will be right back on Connecting Faith. We were made to thrive in every area as we are bringing glory to God through our gifts and talents. But a recent Barna poll says that perhaps some professional women are not feeling that way in their churches. Many as 27% of professional Christian women are starting to choose to unplug from their church. Talking to business consultant Sandra Crawford Williamson today, and she is just joining in this conversation. And Sandra, one of the things that I found interesting in reading what you've written on this subject is that women are looking for something in the church that they're really not finding. What is it that they're not finding in their local church that is causing them to question whether or not they belong there?
Well, Joe, I really don't ever like to point out a challenge without trying to offer a solution. I was raised that way as a child. My dad would say, well, what are you going to do about it? And so when I, you know, I'm a person of statistics. I came up, you know, in marketing and sales career, and so when I was seeing these numbers, my heart was just grieving that these women don't feel included or feel on fire on Sunday morning to get up and go to church. And so we went out Forward, and you know, our organization's the number 4, W-O-R-D, women.org. We are a nonprofit ministry for professional Christian women, and we have a great digital platform, local groups across America, mentor programs, all sorts of content. And we went out and we did some, I don't like to call it research because it was a lot of interviews, so it was more subjective. But we interviewed tons of women and were like, why are you not in church, or why are you thinking of leaving, or why are you not on fire from it? And it really came down to these four topics. And the first one that I really felt, you know, all that time ago was there's no bucket into which I fit, right? So there's all, you know, churches, how they deal with, you know, 5,000 people or 50 people showing up on a Sunday is they group them together in affinity groups of programming. And so you've got the young marrieds, the singles, the youth, the married with children, the empty nesters, divorced, retired, blah, 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 down the list, right? Well, as a professional Christian woman, married or not, there really wasn't any bucket I felt that I fit into. When I was single, for sure. And now that I'm married, I often go to, and my husband teaches a class, leads a class, and so I go to that class. And but it just, it's not my affinity group, right? So this woman, she's a woman and maybe a mother and maybe a wife, and she's also the business leader. And so our daily challenges are very unique. I go into the mission field every week, Monday through Friday, 7 to 7. And so, you know, if churches could offer groups that address all of my life parts, then she's going to be on fire for church again. And so, for example, very proud to say that my church on March 18th is starting one of these groups for women in the workforce on Wednesday night and during a time when there's childcare and all that great stuff. And so we have seen some case studies across America. There's a church out on the West Coast. They started offering this special bucket, and all of a sudden women started coming out of the woodwork that had never even been to their church before, because people were inviting their friends from the office and from my client and, you know, that I met at the hair place or whatever. And so the growth was just tremendous. So that's the first thing. I feel isolated at church because there's no bucket into which I fit. And the second one sort of goes along with that, in that the women programs that do exist, whether the current ones or hopefully some that are more geared tailored to this specific niche, don't align with my work schedule or my needs. So I hear it every single day. Well, the women's ministry at my church does things during the week, during the day, or on Saturday morning, or, you know, takes weekend retreats. And I'll just speak for myself here. You know, I am not in a position where I can go to a women's ministry event at Wednesday morning at 9:30 or 10 because I'm working. I don't want to go to a weekend retreat because I'm not with my children Monday through Friday during the day, so I want to be with them on the weekends. You know, I'd rather go to a 6:30 a.m. breakfast, but, you know, like my husband's group does. But can you imagine if I busted up into there with all the men? It was like, hand me a kolache. Let's get into the word, right? They would all, my husband would pass out, first of all. But so, you know, the specific just logistics of having a schedule. And so, you know, the idea of having something that's specifically around the scheduling opportunities for these working women that works into their busy lives could be great. You know, Sunday afternoons, I have a small group that we do. It's not through my church, but it's through my children's private Christian school, some working moms from there. And we meet on Monday nights at 8:30. And some people are like, what are you kidding me? But it's perfect for me because I get my workday done. I come home. I get all kids' activities, homework, dinner, baths, get everybody almost in bed. And then I head over to this little neighborhood cafe, and we just sit there until they close or until they kick us out. And so there's all these other opportunities for scheduling. And so that's number two. The women's programs need to align with a working woman's schedule. So that's the second bucket. The other two are a little more subjective in that we often heard when we went out and did these interviews, I mean, and I'm talking across the country, across faiths, we were told over and over again, very passionately, that the examples women hear from the pulpit don't necessarily pertain to them, that the examples about business are about men, and the examples about women are about home topics. And so, you know, I stick with statistics and science and try to, you know, not point fingers. And I just say, you know, psychology tells us that if a human doesn't see themselves in a picture, they'll put down the topic and be completely uninterested. In fact, there are these studies that show photo albums, and you give a photo album to somebody, and the number is something like if they don't see themselves in a picture by like page 4, most people will like close it and politely set it down. And young children, it's like if I'm not in it by page 2 or 3, they're like, well, where am I?
First page.
Yeah.
whose book is this anyway?
You know, these professional women in the pew, they need to see themselves in the picture. They need to hear examples about themselves that pertain to themselves, you know, in the spiritual message picture on Sunday morning. And so, you know, if we can include those kinds of examples in the messages, you know, even, you're going to laugh, but even in the graphics on a website, right, you know, and in the bulletin and all that stuff, just keeping in mind, 52% of women in America are working outside of the home. So let's be more inclusive in our language and our visuals and in our stories. So that's number three. And then number four, we hear this one just as much as the other three. And again, I'm really big on self-awareness. And, you know, you heard me already mention StrengthFinders, and I've done Bob Buford's Halftime Institute, and, you know, Bill Hendricks' Power of Uniqueness book, and Social Styles. I'm very aware on what my spiritual gifts are, and I'm very aware of what I have to offer as a human being to the Lord and what he can use. I mean, my Ephesians 2:10 calling, I know how he created me, and I want to use those to bring souls to him. And, you know, I feel every day that goes by, that's a lost minute that I could be out doing that for him. And so these spiritual gifts that women have are very unique. Every single one of us different. He created every one of us. He knows every hair on our head. He gave us every set of strengths and gifts and talents. And women feel that in the church their unique giftedness is not necessarily being recognized or respected. So even though these women have gifts outside of traditional home skills of being a wife and a mother and running a home, they maybe have these other skills over here. They're, you know, asked to do things within the church that all the women are asked to do, which, again, we're fine. Sign me up for the nursery. I do it once a month. They finally stopped asking me to bring meals because I would show up with a big bag of takeout. So I don't get on that list anymore. But the point is that these women have areas of expertise that pertain to their Monday through Friday jobs, you know, attorneys and accountants and marketing people and real estate, on. And they're not being asked to use those areas of expertise. And so, again, the statistic is that only 20% of humans respond to a need when asked to volunteer. Most churches don't know that. That's one of my big passions to get that message across. You know, churches will say, well, the same people do everything all the time. And it's because it's that 20% that when they see a need and they're asked to volunteer, they sign up. But there's 80% of people over here that is a massive untapped resource inside the church that they want to have a specific call on their specific gifts. So I tell people we've got to find these women inside the church with these specific areas of expertise, these specific gifts, these specific training, and we've got to use those gifts for God's glory inside the church, because there are wonderful women sitting there every week who, you know, maybe aren't asked to be on the finance committee or aren't asked to plan the next outreach, or who aren't asked to be on the planning committee for the new building, and on, you know. And that woman has tremendous skill and experience. And if you read, there's a lot of articles now about women being added to corporate boards. There are all sorts of statistics that when a corporate board has more than one woman on it, the results, the business results of that business go up. Now, again, it's, you know, because she's bringing a different point of view, a different skill set, a different way of communication. So it's the same thing inside the church. So that's the fourth one. So, you know, just to recap them quickly, the woman doesn't fit like there's a bucket into which she fits. The programming there in the church doesn't align with my work schedule, number two. Number three, the examples from the pulpit or from graphics and other stories aren't necessarily including me. And then fourth, I don't feel that my spiritual gifts are recognized or used in the church. So I get all cray-cray, Joe, talking about it, but you know, those are the four things that I'm very passionate about trying to raise the awareness on.
Well, I'm talking to Sandra Crawford Williamson today about women in the church. There's been a recent study by Barna that says that 27%, as much as 27% of women are leaving the church because they haven't found a place where they fit. And of course, that's detrimental to not only the men in the church, but the children and the families as well. So raising awareness of an important subject right now, we'd love to have you join in on the conversation as well. If you'd like to, give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. And we will be back after the break on Connecting Faith. Faith, thanks for joining us this afternoon. We are talking about women in church, specifically professional working women, and how they are not necessarily feeling like they fit. A recent poll by Barna said that 27% of women are just up and leaving the church because they haven't found a place to connect. So what can we do as churches and or as individuals in those churches to just grab on to those skills, talents, and spiritual gifts of women to help them to feel like they fit in our church as not only wives and mothers, but as women who have gifts and talents to share with our church as well, to just build up that church. So I'm speaking with Sandra Crawford Williamson today about this, and she is
part of the national organization ForwardWomen.org, and we'll tell you a little bit more on how to get connected with that if you would like. But Sandra, we were just talking about how it's not that this is a women versus men thing. This is just a church, build up your church in the body of Christ kind of thing. And that one way to do that is to get those involved with spiritual gifts to use those spiritual gifts in the church, right?
Absolutely, no matter what those are. In fact, Joe, I absolutely abhor what I call the mommy wars, right, of the working women and the women that are choosing to stay and work at home. This is not about that. And this is not about, you know, feminism or men against women at all. In fact, if you knew me, I am so all-inclusive. I love everybody, and I just want to maximize the church opportunity. I use the word activate a lot. And so if we're going to activate our local church to change lives, change our community, bring hope into the world, we have to maximize every tiny little potential there, every drop. And so I'm just about squeezing every drop of potential of who's sitting in the pew or who's not sitting in the pew but could be. And so absolutely what this is about. In fact, I go out and I speak to men's groups and they say, you know what, we feel some of that same way because the men's groups aren't exactly convenient for us. And, you know, there's not a lot of business examples of what I'm facing Monday through Friday from the pulpit. And so it's very interesting. A lot of groups feel this way.
Well, and same with my husband's group who meets at 6:30 in the morning. He will often bring a book home and say, hey, this is what our leader decided we should read, and then, you know, give some comments on the next month when we meet. And I'm like, I want to read the book too. So yeah. It is fun to be able to share those kinds of insights with your spouse as well and
Absolutely.
Contribute that way. We have a caller who called in, who's calling in from Orono, who has some comments to share just about how she and her other professional friends have started their own group as well. So would love to have her chat with you. Polly, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for calling in.
Yes. Well, thank you for taking on this topic. I have a group of friends that as we, you know, we're taking a small off-ramp, having kids, and, you know, we were leading the PTO and that kind of thing, we realized we really wanted to do other things that were related to our business. So we created our own kind of small board that encouraged each other, but, you know, let us have that professional conversation while still having a faith conversation. I haven't found the thing in the church, but I really, you know, appreciate the topic bringing forward. I think the other thing is we have to remember, and I just wondered if the, you know, the person could comment on that a lot of our pastors' wives are also working women, that we can't put them in a stereotypical role that they don't have, you know, that they can't fulfill our expectations of whatever we think that is.
Hmm. Sandra, thanks so much for calling, Polly. Sandra, what have you heard or witnessed as far as women in the church who are working in the church, and how can we support them as well?
Yeah, well, Polly, first of all, congratulations. That's wonderful that you have brought together women and you guys are encouraging each other. That's really what Forward is about, is just providing a platform for women to come together authentically and encourage and lift each other up. So I applaud you for doing that. It's wonderful. You know, we speak with a lot of women who work inside the church. So, you know, women that are on staff and pastors' wives. I go to pastors' wives' functions and that sort of thing. And absolutely, they are working. They are working 24/7. And I often say, and by the way, so is my precious best friend, who happens to be my sister, my real sister, who is a stay-at-home mom. She's working 24/7. And, you know, one of her kids has pneumonia right now. And, I mean, it's like, oh, my goodness. So she's working 24/7 too. And what I often say to explain how I feel, again, this is how I feel, is it depends on where you're going to work, right? So I'm going out into the marketplace where there's not always a lot of believers. I mean, when I was in corporate America, especially, I was the only Christian in the C-suite, and, you know, I was the only woman, and I was the only one who had kids at home, and I was the only one whose spouse also worked outside of the home. I mean, talk about feeling by yourself and lonely. And, you know, I had 5,000 employees that, you know, lots of them were lost. And I was trying to be the light of the world to them and to bring Jesus in any way I could through my actions and words. And so women that are working inside the church, they are inside a workplace that is, let's hope, all Christians. And so I just think it's what your environment is. And again, none's better or worse than the others, just different. And so that's kind of what I just bring up. And a lot of women that work inside the church privately will say, hey, I face some of the same stuff because I'm, you know, maybe one of only two or three women inside a church staff. And so that's a whole other topic, but I have not walked that walk, and so I don't dare to try to speak to that. I've never been a pastor's wife. I know it's probably one of the hardest things on earth. My sister is a deacon's wife, and that's tough enough. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just one of those things that it's where you're going every single day, what that environment is, just brings a different set of circumstances and a different set of challenges.
You had talked a little bit about, in one of your four points, reasons that women are finding that they want to leave the church. One example was that the pulpit doesn't really pertain to me because the sermons are often about men in business and women in the home. And I'm wondering if you can speak more to that. What is it that could come out of the teaching from our pastors, who some are men, some are women, that may offer some encouragement to that woman who's like, well, I have three things that I need to do. I need to lead in my workforce. I need to, you know, raise my family as well. I need to figure out a way to have balance and also grow in my faith. So right. How is it that the person who is speaking can bring all those messages to each person who's sitting in that pew?
Right. So a lot of what we talk about at Forward is the three-legged stool of the professional Christian woman. And so the first is to lead everything she does with her faith and love of the Lord. And that's first and foremost. And second is that her relationships are important and golden to her, and that's as a woman, as a, you know, single woman, as a wife, as a mother, as a widow, whatever that looks like, whatever those relationships are, friendships, you know, children, whatever. And then the third leg of the stool is these women are very passionate and driven in their careers. And so we're a very hard consumer group to speak to. In fact, there's a lot of studies now talking about this, that professional women in general are very, very difficult to reach. Advertising companies are, you know, paying billions of dollars a year, and they're not even getting in front of the professional woman. And then the professional Christian woman's an even harder consumer group to get to because, you know, we maybe aren't sitting down watching TV in the car, or maybe not putting on the radio. We're talking on the phone or doing a conference call. We're not reading fashion magazines. We're doing a book study instead. And so, in general, this is a very hard consumer group to speak to all parts of our lives. And then bless the pastor's heart, he's got, what, 35 minutes? or she's got 35 minutes to try to hit to every niche in the room. I mean, so again, I'm not complaining or pointing fingers. I'm just here to raise awareness. But if a pastor, man or woman, or any sort of person who's speaking the word of God into the church body could just remember that half your audience are working women, and to try to paint them into the picture, put them, you know, before page four in the photo album in some way, in some example. Pastors tend to speak in their own gender. That's fine. That's human nature, right? And it takes just a lot of self-awareness to say, hey, when I was mentoring a professional Christian woman last week at lunch, right, you just don't hear that a lot. And and that's a whole other topic that I'll just say and then not discuss any further. But that's the whole man-woman sexual tension that, you know, I go to churches all over the country, and some of the male pastors like invite me in, and we sit down, and we're like blah 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 blah, you know, just nonstop. And then I go to other churches, and he won't even meet with me one on one, even in a public restaurant. And so, you know, this is just a huge spectrum of churches across America. So again, you can't pick out one topic, but It's just a raising awareness. How can I also put, and by the way, this particular topic, Joe, is a very passionate one for men as well. I go out and speak to, there are 1,200 men's ministries across the world that minister to professional Christian men. Forward is the only one, by the way, for women, run by women. But these groups, they have me come in and speak on women's topics, and our founder, Diane Pattison, even more so. And they will often at the end go, you know what? I feel the same way, because there's just not a lot of business examples in general. So, you know, whatever gender they are. So that's just another perspective, too, that, you know, 70-some percent of the people sitting there on Sunday morning are going to go to some job on Monday, whether they're a man or a woman. And so that's our real world. And so if I can encourage, you know, just more business examples in general, I think that would help everybody.
Well, I'm talking to Sandra Crawford Williamson today. She is a member of ForwardWomen.org, and we're going to talk about a little bit more about women in the church. Are we ministering to them, and are we giving them opportunities to minister in the church? We're going to talk more about that when we come back from our break. You are listening to Connecting Faith. Faith, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Rathbanner. Today, talking with Sandra Crawford Williamson. And Sandra, we're just one of the statistics that I was looking at as you were in all the information that you presented said that 84% of Christians ages 18 to 29 acknowledged that they had no idea how the Bible applies to their field or their professional interests. That's another Barna study from 2011, really kind of hits home with what you were just talking about, that as we're listening and being part of our churches, that we really do want to know how to apply those biblical principles to the rest of our lives. In fact, that's what this show is all about, is being able to look at what God's Word has to say and apply that to your life as a professional, whether you're a male or female, whether you're a parent, whether you're not a parent, a person, you know, reaching out to someone on the street as well, that or next to you, that we need to take what God's Word has to say and use it in the way that He would like us to use it. So love what you were saying about that. And in fact, you were so passionate about it that you have been part of this organization called Forward Women. And you were mentioning Diane Pattison had started this. Tell me about, you know, why she started this, what was the main goal, and what you're doing with that organization now.
Yeah, no, great question. And the study you brought up from Barna, the millennial study, I get so, you think I'm passionate now. I get crazy talking about the millennials in church and how they are, not only are they unplugging and not going, they literally in the studies say they don't see at all how it applies to their daily life. Mm-hmm. And that gives me a pit in my stomach. And so, these millennials are coming up in a very, very different world than I did. I mean, I'm only 47, but still, it was a different world in the, you know, the 70s and 80s than it is today. And so they're coming up in a world where they're like, you know, I don't really see God and Jesus painted into my world at all. So how is this going to help me out? And so it's that's a tough one, and we are tackling the millennial stuff at Forward. So Diane Pattison, amazing woman, had a 25-plus year corporate real estate career. So she and I, when we met, we were like kindred spirits. Bob Buford and his Halftime Institute introduced us. They said, "You have got to meet each other. You sound alike. You talk alike. You know, you have a lot of the same passions." And Diane was blessed in 2011 to have the time margin to, she wanted to give back. She had been asked all through her career, how do you do it? How do you juggle, you know, your great relationship with the Lord, with running a family and being a mom and a wife and, you know, having a great accomplished career? And she would be asked to speak on balance and mentoring and those sorts of things. And so she got to a place where she had time and she wrote this book. And it's called Work, Love, Pray. and Work, Love, Pray, published by Zondervan in September 2011, comes out, and women came out of the woodwork of all ages, Joe. Here's the best part. We have women at Forward from 22 to 82. And the common thread is they share a Christian value system, and they're career-driven, and they are very, very, you know, particular in taking care of their relationships, whether it be as a wife, a mother, dating, single, you know, a child with their parents, whatever it is. And so we now have local groups in 18 cities, and we have a study guide for Work, Love, Pray, and these local groups come together face-to-face. But we have over 2 million people a year that see our digital content on our website. Again, it's the number 4, W-O-R-D, women.org. We're on 7 social media platforms. I'm a digital marketing, you know, techie dork, so we use that to our maximize, you know, we maximize it. And we put out authentic content that is original twice a week, and we interview people, and then on Friday we put out a Friday Faves that's sort of the best of anything you would want to read about work, so work topics and articles, love, things about relationships, and pray, things about your faith and your church. And so that's all in one email on Fridays. And it's just been tremendous. We have some great partners like American Airlines, who put Work, Love, Pray on all their in-flight entertainment systems for free. That was a great call. They said, would you mind if we, and we were like, oh, no, we don't mind. Christianity Today came to us about 15 months ago and said, hey, we're trying to speak more authentically to the working woman in the church. And we've been out there trying to find stuff, and you're the only one speaking authentically to them. Could you start writing for us? And so we started writing. It was published on Today's Christian Woman. They then over time said, this is some of the most read articles on our whole website. Would you power a whole platform? And so we have a tab on Today's Christian Woman, Career and Calling. And then that went so well, they said, hey, we want to put out a newsletter. And so it's called Life Work, and it's about the crossroads of career and faith. And that goes out every other Tuesday. And so, you know, we are just trying to be here for any organization. You know, we work with some companies where we bring our Forward Mentor program in for their women. We go in, and you know, you have to understand, Diane and I both with 25-plus year corporate careers, we're as comfortable in a boardroom as we are, you know, in church. And so we get asked a lot to come in and speak about women as a consumer and how it can help, you know, grow a business if you can kind of change your perspective. Because as you said at the very beginning, women control 80% of the household spending, including charitable giving, you know, which includes tithing. And I also like to say they control 80% of the time that a family spends. And so it's just been phenomenal. Forward has helped women in their careers. It's helped women put marriages back together. We have Diane and I are both impactors, so we love seeing the impact of Forward. And we have this document where every testimonial we go put it in, and we have videos and things, and we have over 600 testimonials where people just say, hey, I didn't know how to ask, you know, for a raise or a promotion, and you talked about that. Hey, I am a career woman who's taking care of my aging parents and paying for them, and that's a very tough thing. You know, it affects my marriage, it affects my relationship with my siblings, and you talked about that very authentically. I, for example, survived cancer and 4 miscarriages, and God just persevered and gave me babies even after that. And so we speak about infertility, and we speak about adoption. We speak about egg freezing, all these topics that no one, you know, it's kind of like don't make eye contact and talk about fertility in the church, right? But we speak very authentically about them because they're real, and they're real topics, and we want women to have others to talk to about these things. And so that's what Forward is all about, is just saying, hey, there are these women out there, and they're lonely, and they want to, you know, speak about business as much as about babies, and they've got to worry about their board presentation and about making dinner, And so if we can bring all of that in one place to them, we think they'll respond. And it has just gone crazy. I was in Houston yesterday launching a local group there. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Tuesday, San Francisco last week. And so I just encourage, if what we're saying is really hitting home with you, you know, and you don't live in one of the 18 cities where you have a local group, our digital platform is really strong. And so you could plug into that. You could have the content sent directly to your inbox by going to forwardwomen.org. And you could dial into a local group. You could do a mentor program. And we connect people based on giftedness and goals. And so we have people mentor women across the world. We had a woman mentored from Australia by a woman in Dallas over Skype, life-changing for both of them. So we just try to offer content, programs, opportunity for connections, resources for professional Christian women, because there just doesn't seem to be a lot out there speaking to them in their voice. And we've got some great partners that are helping us, you know, get that content out. And so we just want to do the Lord's work. And every day we're amazed at the doors he opens. And so your show, for example, is one of them. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about Forward.
Well, so we've given a great opportunity for women who are feeling like they need somewhere to connect. We've given them a great resource, and we'll have a link for that on our website as well. Now, we have a couple of minutes left. Maybe you can give just one suggestion for that person who's listening today who is an influencer in their church and is just realizing, you know what, there is a lot of untapped potential, or maybe we're not serving that community in our church in a way that we could. What is one thing that they could do if, let's say, the person who's in charge of women's ministry, what is one thing that that person could do in order to create a platform and opportunity for women, professional women who have something to give, would be able to give, whether that's in a Bible study or a group or even just being aware of it? What's something they could do?
Well, it's funny because I just 2 days ago came up with the three I's. You have to identify. Who are these women? Because, again, they're camouflaged on Sunday, right? And so you have to take some effort to go find out who are the workforce women in your church and find out who they are. So identify. The second is invite. And I will tell you, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, and because it gets us into trouble sometimes. I speak about myself, and I hear this from a lot of professional Christian women. Because we have so much going on, and literally I get like 30 minutes a day where I can do something for myself by myself, and that's usually at like 11 p.m. at night, our time is our hardest thing to overcome. And so if you just put something in the church bulletin, or you put it on the screen on Sunday, or you put it on the website, that's not going to do it. You have to personally invite those women. So identify, invite them to an hour lunch, right? Start at 12, end at 1, get them back to the office. So invite. And then the third thing is what I call incite. Get them excited about making a movement inside the church for working women. If you can, incite that passion and drive and activate those women, they are going to be on fire for it. And then it's like, just get out of their way, right? But they, you know, they don't feel that they could just step up and start something themselves. And so they're kind of sitting back and they're using their time, talent, and treasure elsewhere. And so if you can identify who they are, invite them personally to get together, and then incite, this passion in them for a movement within the church, it will be tremendous. And like I said, we've seen case studies across the country where that has happened. My favorite, there's a church in Oregon who did this, and they grew their size so quickly they had to change buildings like within 6 months. They scheduled their first event. They did this, identify, invite, incite, and they had this small group. And then that group of women went out and invited their networks and planned this kickoff event. And like 350 women showed up in a room that they had prepared for like 75. Mm. And it was like, oh, my goodness. It was like when Diane launched Forward, you know, it's like, oh, my goodness. You just feel the unmet need that these women are craving connection and to meet women like them. And so those women got dialed in through that program, started coming to that church, bringing their families on Sunday. That church within 6 months had to trade with the church down the street up to a bigger building. And it was directly, you know, because of that change. And they invited and they identified, invited and incited a passion to create a movement within the church. And so that's my advice. And, you know, we would love to help organizations do that. We do work with churches and help them identify this consumer and hear some ideas for programming and that sort of thing. So, you know, anyone can email us, call us, you know, go to the website.
Thanks, Sandra. We're going to have to say goodbye, but I'll get all that information there. Thanks so much.